get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree, and it's a beautiful day to podcast. You were going to say it.
No, I know. I almost did. If this is your first time listening, hi. We're really happy.
Welcome.
We're really happy you're here. What a random choice to listen to this episode. But we highly recommend, since we are a deep diving podcast going through all the episodes of Grey's Anatomy, that you start back at the beginning and just be aware that everything we say then was 5 years ago. We are 5 years younger.
We were 5 years old when we recorded that. We are now 10
years old now. And so we also want to emphasize that this is a spoiler podcast. We talk about everything caught up to current Grey's, which at this time is season 18. So if you don't want to be spoiled and you haven't watched the show, go back and watch the show and then come back and listen to us.
Yeah. Totally. If you want to support us, you can do that on Patreon. It's in the show notes, but if you want to type it into your browser on Google Chrome, you can do that at
on my browser? Never mind. I use Google Chrome. I'm sorry. I use Safari on my phone, though.
Yeah, I use Safari on my phone too, but I use Chrome on my computer. Anyway, let us know what browser you like. You can
Internet Explorer.
That's a good one. Or what? Firefox?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can be a resident. Wait, no. You can be an intern, resident, or attending, and you get a lot of bonus features for doing that. One of the really cool things you get is if you're a $10 attending, you get like 5 to 10 extra minutes of the podcast where we keep talking. We call Time of Death. And we choose a different topic every week based on the episodes we watch. So tonight we're going to be talking about Joe and DeLuca, and we're going to kind of throw some Karev stuff in there as well.
Yeah. We are also, I feel like I just want to give people a heads up. Maybe they don't need to know this, but I suddenly feel like they do. We are, as you can see, talking today about season 13, episode 21 and 22, and we are nearing the finale. So there's two more episodes, meaning one more of our podcast until we wrap up season 13. And then we will be jumping into reactions of the current season. So the second half of season 18 will start on February 24th. And we will be recording episodes that next week. So our goal is to get you our reaction episode like before the next one airs. It might just be like a day before, but either way, you'll have it to listen to before. And we're just going to kind of react and take notes and talk about what we think in this last season, mostly because we want to watch these ones with you. We don't want to feel left out.
Yeah. And just so you know about those two, like we try, like over the 5 years we've been doing this, we've tried to create like more of an outline of how we discuss things that happened in the episodes. And we don't put as much effort into reactions. So they're a little more like willy-nilly and just like
free flowing
thoughts. Yeah. And like first thoughts. So like we reserve the right to change our minds about our opinions of the episodes. So, you know, cause I feel like when I first watched season 13, like I didn't like it. And now in the rewatch, I'm actually really enjoying this season.
I'm afraid this is going to be us in every season and then it's going to end. And we're going to be like, this is actually a really good show.
Well, I think it is a really good show. I mean, we wouldn't still be doing this if 5 years later, if like there wasn't something that we enjoyed about it. I will say And I've said it before that I do feel like Grey's in the current seasons has lost a bit of its heart. But, you know, I don't know. They signed on for another. Maybe they'll find their way back in 19 or, you know, we just don't know.
I hate that you want it to end on 20 because that just feels like so many more years.
Well, I just don't. I can't imagine that they would end on 19, but they might. Like, I don't know. Or they might
go to
25.
I'm turning 33 in March. Which
congratulations.
Means 34 when it's season 19. If they go, I'll be fucking 35 years old.
35 is a baby. You are a tiny baby at 35.
Bree, we could have gotten medical degrees in the time that we've done this podcast.
We could be surgeons.
What a social experiment that would have been.
If like while we were doing this, we were becoming surgeons, I could never.
Me either, but it would be, I don't know, it'd be really interesting. Which, okay, I have something to say on a personal level.
Okay.
And I don't want to like dwell on the sad part of this, but she will eventually listen to this. My mom had a really serious surgery this past week. And so I have visited her a couple of times in the hospital. And okay, I feel like I haven't had a loved one. I've had like loved adjacent ones be in hospitals where maybe I've gone once, but not like multiple times. And I am shocked. Where are the surgeons? They are nowhere to be found. Like, they're not walking around. They're not like...
not having sex in on call rooms.
No, I mean, like, they're probably... obviously, like, where she is not the surgical floor anymore. Like, there's a floor where surgery is, and then there's, like, the other floors, you know? But, like...
yeah.
But, like, I just... where are the doctors? At one point, the nurse was, like, typing to the doctor, like, on, like, a chat type of a function on the computer, which I thought was pretty cool. But I was like, Mom, do they come in and do rounds? And she's like, it's not a teaching hospital. I was like, oh. But like, I just, it's nothing like, it's way less boring. It's way more boring than I thought.
Well, and I wonder too, like, I feel like I've had surgery a couple times, nothing like super intense, like, you know, but like I feel like the surgeon visits you like once, maybe after, like when you come out of anesthesia and like you're back in recovery, like with your family and they're like, everything went well or whatever. And then like, you never see them again.
No.
Maybe if you have like a post-op appointment in like a week or 2 weeks, you see them, but then it's just like other doctors or nurses that you see the rest of the time. Like, you never see that surgeon again.
I just really thought, like, based on what my mom had done, that, like, where is the Christina Yang? Shouldn't she be checking on her all the time? And yeah, she's
should
not.
Have been. Well, maybe your mom is just doing so well that, like, Christina Yang wouldn't have been checking on her either because she, just not done with it. Moving on.
Also, like, thriving. I'm trying to, like, every time I leave, I like look the nurse in the eye and I'm like, do you realize who you're taking care of? Like, do not brush this off. Like, this
you
is...
say that to them?
No, I don't say that.
Oh,
but I feel like, it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I need them to know my patient's storyline, like the family. You know what I mean? Like, I need them to be attached.
Yes, to, yeah. I mean, I don't think you have to worry about, I feel like the nurses are the ones who are like doing the grunt work and they're
it's wild. Anyone who's a nurse, I mean, I just applaud you.
Yeah. Anyone in like healthcare, I feel like it's just doing the most and doing the best. And we're just so grateful for everyone out there who like takes care of our loved ones when we can't, because it's like so hard to, like, I know my mom was in the hospital once and like, all you want to do is like make it better for your mom, but like, you don't have the skills to do what needs to be done. So yeah, you have to like give it up to someone else. And all you can do is like sit there. I know I would like always like move my mom's food tray for her, 'cause it felt like something I could do.
Yes, or like or moving order wires.
Or like order her food. Like, you know, she could have called down, but I was like, no, you tell me what you want and I'll place your order. 'Cause it was like something you could do. So, but regardless, we're not supposed to, treat family members anyway. So even if you are
I know,
in
true.
The medical field, you're still not supposed to be
I just really thought I'd see more doctors and I didn't. And I wanted to like see if I could get onto the surgical floor and just like walk around. Also, I feel like they just let you into hospitals. Not a lot of questions asked. And all of a sudden you're like in and you're like, am I supposed to be here? But like you are, but it feels like you're not.
Yeah. I would say even like it was way more wild before COVID. Like
that's
now
true.
I feel like you have to like go to the front desk and like, but like, I feel like before COVID you could just like wander aimlessly and like right. be in like a wing of something you were not supposed to be in.
Yeah, it just, everywhere I go, I feel like I'm not supposed to be. And then you have to hit a button to exit out of the door. And I always forget. And then it buzzes and they look really annoyed at me. I'm like, sorry, it's the button. I forgot to hit the button. Goodbye.
I feel like the one place that you're not allowed to wander really is the ER. But like, other than that, I feel like you could just like walk into the hospital and be like, I'm going to floor four.
Yeah, I also went to the cafeteria.
Just go.
I also went to the cafeteria and like, was like, all right, where's the cafeteria scenes? Like,
I always got really excited when I like have had family members in I'm not excited when I have family members in the hospital. What I am excited about is when I go there and go in the cafeteria and there are people in scrubs there. I'm like, do you come here every day? Do you ever pack a lunch? Like, what are you doing? Like, I want to inquire. And they always are like scanning things to pay and stuff. And it seems very thrilling.
I felt the same. They had, I got a bunch of snacks. And then I was like, oh shit, I'm not supposed to eat these in the room. But I did when the nurse left.
Oh, you're so bad.
Yeah. So anyways, enough about that. Mom, if you're listening to this, I hope you're—
We love you.
—feeling better. I love you.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. How are you feeling?
Let's just get into it. But I will just say, I just want to mention, because last week I had said I was having surgery. Mm. And I want to say—
Wait,
that
while
this
you
week,
talk for a second, can I fill my wine glass? I'll still be able to hear you.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to briefly say that due to like COVID situations, they had to reschedule my surgery. And so I just didn't want to leave the listeners hanging, like not say like, oh, surgery. Ooh, I can hear that wine bottle. All right. you're not at your mic though, are you? Oh, so I'm just like talking to myself right now. That's great. But anyway, I just like, I didn't want to like leave the listeners hanging. And I still haven't gotten it rescheduled. It will probably be sometime in March. But that was it. I just—
That's good. So you didn't want people like to be wondering what happened.
Yeah. And it's just like COVID, so wild. So many things get messed up because of it. And my heart goes out to anyone who has had their plans changed in any way, which is literally everyone on this podcast because of COVID. It's just really frustrating. So, and I know everyone's like working really hard to like keep up with all the new changes. And it's just, but it's tough. It's tough shit, y'all.
It is.
Anyway.
I'm glad your wedding could happen.
My wedding?
Yeah, like, you know how excited you were for your wedding? Think if what you had planned was in 2020.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Well, I mean, we did have to pivot because we were going to get married. But like, luckily, we hadn't really like started planning.
But can you imagine if like you had it planned and then and it was supposed to be June of 2020 and then March of 2020 happened and you were like, guess I can't have this?
No, I had friends that happened to, and it was so sad.
Yeah, I just think about
it. And I'm sure, I mean, you had plenty of couples that happened to, and just like watching like the time tick pass and then be like, you know what? It's not worth it. Let's just do something really small. We just want to be married. And like, that's beautiful and lovely in itself. And I think there's really like positive, great things about that, but like having to let go of all the hard work that you put in. It's not easy planning a wedding.
No. Also, I just think it's funny to note today, someone said to us, Brie and I, in a text that 2015 was 7 years ago. And my brain broke because to me, it was 5 years ago.
Well, because like time stopped moving after 2020. Mm-hmm. Like, I cannot believe it is 2022.
I refuse.
I will not write that on a check. I don't know why I said a check. I don't write checks, but I feel like you write checks.
I do. You don't write checks ever?
I did when I was planning a wedding, but...
I guess and, I only really write one to my cleaning lady.
And it was really sad because I had just ordered all these new checks and they all had, they're all Arizona checks.
Oh, so depressing. I was like you writing wedding
stuff. Yeah, on Arizona stuff. It's like, okay, whatever.
Yeah.
It's fine. We're married. We're moving on, you know?
Yeah, we're moving on. Speaking of moving on,
the episodes.
Yes. I feel like, again, it's like right before the finale, things kind of get boring. And I bet you like the next two will be exciting. In fact, I know they are. Hashtag rapist fire. I feel like we can sail through these ones tonight. There were some good moments, but other than that, it was pretty boring.
Yeah. So again, if you're watching along, this is season 13, episode 21 and 22. Don't Stop Me Now. And Leave It Inside.
Don't stop me now.
Because I'm having a good time.
Actually, that movie that came out, like, whatever year, 20, I think it was 2019, maybe, about Queen or Freddie Mercury. I love that movie.
I thought it was okay. I've watched it a lot. I've only seen it once, so maybe I would have to watch it again. I thought it was fine.
I think maybe I didn't know enough about Queen, and I know that I don't want to get into this. There's lots of like different opinions about like the whole, everything that was shown in that. But I'm just saying in general, I learned some things in a good way and it made me like them, like Queen even more. And so it was like fun for me to watch. Also, I really loved Lucy Boynton, the girl who plays like Freddie's wife.
I don't remember. I don't know who that is.
Mm, she's also in that show on Netflix, The Politician with Ben Platt. I don't think you watched that
either. I never watched that.
It was okay.
How do you spell her?
Lucy Boynton.
Oh, there we go.
She's got a great bob. And basically that's when I had short blonde hair as well. And I was like, I'm glad there's someone else with short blonde hair being represented. Because there's not enough short blonde.
Wait, they dated?
Yeah, they still are dating.
Wow, look at that. That's nice. She has great hair. Wow. Google her, everyone.
She sort of looks like a modern Twiggy.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Literally, I clicked on a photo where she has Twiggy eyelashes.
Yeah. She does that a lot. That same photo is what I'm thinking of. But I just like her hair a lot. And she had a cool Met Gala outfit. So anyways, okay, blah, blah, blah. How did we get to talk about Queen? Let's talk about these episodes.
Don't Stop Me Now.
I will read the first monologue. They're short.
Okay.
Okay, first one. I didn't mean to hurt you. That's the last thing I'd ever want because I care about you more than anything. So no matter how mad you are, how much you want to shut me out, I know this. You are my sister, whether you like it or not, and I'm not going anywhere. Meredith Grey.
I wonder, was that just like the ending? Because I feel
it was.
Like
there was nothing in the beginning.
Yeah, okay. All right, second one. Our skulls cushion our brains. Our rib cage guards our hearts. The body is built to protect our most vulnerable parts. At least that's how it's supposed to work. The body adapts. It protects itself. But it can't close off completely, or we're not really living, right? So we leave the door open just a little, hoping like hell it's worth the risk. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup. I'll just read them all. We have Mary Parkman, Ascaris lumbricoides, Veronica Kay's advanced pancreatic cancer, pregnancy, spinal met, pulmonary embolus, Liam Fisher, pituitary adenoma, apoplexy, and Holly Harner, left atrial sarcoma, broken arms, splenic laceration.
I feel like those were hard ones today. Very nice job.
Thank you. I've been to medical school for the past 5 years.
For the past 5 years. all right. So for rounds, we have Meredith and Riggs speak to the press after the surgeries on the airplane. And during one part of the interview, Riggs is seen placing his hand on Meredith's shoulder in a way that seems to suggest more than friends. Maggie is taping this and puts the camera down as she realizes what is happening. Throughout the day, her and Meredith talk about what happened. Meredith admits that she messed up and she wishes she could go back and be honest. Maggie feels that Meredith was the only person she had left to trust and now she doesn't even have her. At the end of the episode, the sisters are supposed to be going out for the night, but Maggie wants to to stay home. Meredith tells her that she wants her to come out with them, and because they are sisters, she's not ever going to leave her. Maggie finally relinquishes and goes with Meredith, but says that she's still mad. Meredith says that is okay. In the next episode, Meredith asks Maggie if it's okay that Riggs comes over. Meredith takes out the large drawing of the tumor that Derek and her did, as well as their wedding post-it. Riggs never ended up coming over, but it's clear that Meredith is ready to move on.
Then we have Veronica, now 34 weeks and 3 days pregnant, came to the hospital with back pain. She is the woman who Alex met while in line at the courthouse. An MRI showed that her cancer had spread to her spine. Because of the stress on her body from the pregnancy, her symptoms would only get worse, and she only had 2 or 3 months left to live. They decided then to do a C-section to deliver her baby right away. While she was getting her epidural, she asked to sign a DNR. In the OR, Arizona delivered her baby. After the delivery, Veronica's heart rate spiked and she had trouble breathing. They suspected an embolus, so they took Jeremy and the baby out of the OR as they prepared for an embolectomy. But she refused, and Arizona continued to close her abdomen as her breathing worsened. She said that she was cold, so Amelia held her while she died. After the surgery, Amelia cried in the elevator, and Owen walks in, and they have a very long hug.
Then we have Bailey is trying her hardest to fix Richard and Catherine's marriage. She even enlists April to help her find out what is going on with Richard while they operate on a woman who has a massive amount of worms in her abdomen. Gah, we'll get to that. Bailey tells Catherine she's concerned about her and Richard. She wants them to succeed. Bailey tells her about how similar their lives are, and she figured out what she's doing, but Catherine hasn't. She needs to learn how to be married. Bailey wants to grow old with her man and have old people sex. She says that's what Catherine will get if she makes up with Richard. Richard gets ready for bed. Catherine opens the door and says she was wrong. Richard tells her about the patient full of worms. She asks if he took pictures, and he scoffs and says, of course he has pictures. He gets them to show her, and they end up sitting on the bed together and laughing.
Then we have a little boy named Liam coming into the ER all alone. He told Alex that his head hurt and sometimes he felt dizzy. While they talked about his case, he started seizing. Turns out he had pituitary adenema and needed brain surgery. However, his parents, who are Christian Scientists, asked to take him home because their beliefs prevented medical intervention. They signed the AMA forms and took him home. Stephanie was incredibly upset about this, and Minnick sensed some red flags in watching the way that she spoke to the parent, including the fact that she threw something at a wall behind the dad's head. Liam later came back into the ER, and while he was being led somewhere by Stephanie, he ran into a tray because his vision had gone completely black. Alex examined him and said that he had apoplexy. His tumor was bleeding and compressing the optic nerve. Alex convinced Stephanie to fake an emergency, pretending Liam had had another seizure, in order to make his condition emergent enough that they could operate without parental consent. His tumor resection was successful, and he was able to see afterward. Stephanie, however, was spoken to by Richard, Bailey, and Minnick and had all of her privileges taken away, as well as mandated therapy. At this same time, in an opposing manner, Ben Warren has decided to be more aggressive and take more risks in his job, since Richard told him that's what he needs to show that he wants to be there in the program.
Okay. First notes.
Go ahead.
Well, I realized I wrote this wrong. I said, is Maggie talking to anyone? I meant Meredith. Yeah. I said, oh, she's talking to Karevin. I have the note. It sounds forced because I am a horrible person.
Yeah, because Alex says, I have that too. Alex, because Alex says, like, it sounds forced. And she's like, it is because I am a horrible person.
Go ahead.
This is what happens when we record remotely. I just want to say there was a scene in this that made me laugh really hard when they're talking about, like, I don't know, I missed the line before, but Alex says to her, planes have taken a lot from you. And I feel like it's just like, it's not meant to be. I mean, I think it is meant to be sort like he's just being like very blunt, but it's so true. And like, just the fact that he's the kind of friend that's just like, yeah, man, planes have taken a lot from you.
Yeah, that's really funny. He also tells Meredith to lie, which I think is funny too.
Yes. Like,
Maggie ends up coming into the bathroom, and I love that she's like, show me your teeth. And she thinks that Meredith is nervous about like being interviewed.
Right.
Which at first I was like, what is she nervous about? Like surgery? Like what's going on? But they're getting interviewed about like what happened on the plane. And so Maggie's being like, of course, super supportive. And it mm-hmm. makes it even worse because Meredith has to tell her like, I slept with Riggs and I like want to date him and you
yeah,
like him.
It sucks that she never gets to say that because Which it's kind of unbelievable to me that Maggie would like notice the way he puts his hand on her and mm-hmm. like immediately know. That feels very television, but it is television. Oh, yeah. So whatever. But she like lowers her phone as she's filming them like a proud parent kind of a thing. And she right away just like knows.
Yeah. And like, that sucks. I was actually surprised, I will say, at how quickly this resolved.
Agreed. 1,000%.
It was like one episode. And like at the end, Maggie was still like, I'm still mad at you. But then like in the next episode, they're like, Maggie's very much like, we have to be supportive of Meredith. She's ready to move on. And that, I think, means like one of two things. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like Maggie has obviously moved on from the Riggs thing. Like, if it just particularly you're talking about like her and Riggs, like, and him not wanting to date her and stuff. Like, I don't feel like
right.
she's still interested in Riggs. I think it's really hurtful because she feels like Meredith lied to her for all of this time. Especially when she finds out like it happened at Amelia and Owen's wedding. It's like, this has been happening for a long ass time and you yes. haven't told me that. And because that is why Maggie is still mad, Maggie is mad, it's not about Nathan in particular. I feel like that is not something that like, I would very quickly be like, I forgive you to my sister about, you know?
Yeah, I think I was surprised by also how quickly, I mean, I was happy storyline-wise that we, like, got over it. But I do feel like the scene in the supply room that they have where Maggie gets to be honest with Meredith and say, she says that phrase, you were, like, all I had. Like, she gets to say her part. I also think, like, Meredith, while she apologizes and like is she has like wet eyeballs, is clearly like being honest and saying she didn't want to hurt her. I was trying to do the right thing. Can we not leave it like this? Like, I feel like they both get to say their part. And I don't know how I would feel about forgiving it. But I do think, like you said, like, I don't think Maggie likes Riggs anymore. So like, I feel like that part makes it easier. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Maggie, she's definitely being like, I don't want to say like mean, but she is, but like mean's not the word I'm looking for because she's obviously very hurt. But when she says things like, you know, she sits down by Mare at lunch and like, did you join the Mile High Club? Like, oh, is he a good kisser?
She's being very sisterly.
And it's not even like immature or anything, but like, Meredith, I feel like, is not really gonna like stand for that. Like, mm-hmm. and I think that's fair. And that is, that's before the supply closet thing, right?
Correct. The lunch like, scene with, is before. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And so I think by the time like they get into the supply closet, it's like, you can't keep doing this. Like, and so Maggie can like, instead of being like really snippy with her, she can actually say like, I trusted you and you broke my trust. Which again, if you break someone's trust, it's like you have to rebuild it. And so it's very interesting to me that like, and I don't know if we just had to like wrap up this storyline, especially because Riggs is leaving soon. Like, you know what I mean? Like we have yeah. to like not have them fighting or whatever, but just like realistically, and all of the fights that happen on Grey's Anatomy, sometimes when you're like, oh my God, are we still dragging this out? I was a little surprised this didn't go on for longer.
Yeah, I agree. I wonder if what is shocking to Maggie is I feel like she was expecting maybe Meredith to like be the same way with her and be fighting. But instead, Meredith is just like, I wasn't honest then, but like, I'm definitely going to be honest now. And like she says, you know, like, I messed up. Like she doesn't make excuses. She just says like, yeah, I messed up. I wish I could do it over. And then there's that thing at the very end when she like wants, she's like, I want to go out with you. Like no matter what, like you're my sister. And so like, unfortunately you're stuck with me. Like, so you can be mad at me, but I'm not going away. And I feel like maybe that's the difference is like with a friend, you can choose to be mad or whatever, but with a sister, like maybe Maggie's just like, ugh, fine. Like if you're going to be around and constantly in my face, like I'm going to go out with you, but I'm going to be mad, you know? And I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's over, but I agree with you. I think in real life it would have lasted a little bit longer.
Yeah. I was just like, I was really dreading this. Like, and then I was like, oh, it was like an episode.
Right. Cause that's the whole reason her and Riggs didn't get together publicly.
Yes.
And clearly it would have been fine.
Yeah. And so then the next episode, Meredith is like at 3:30 in the morning.
I love like, that for her. I feel like that's something I would do if I'm not well.
Yeah. Yeah. Like moving the tumor out of the bedroom.
Okay. Thing about that. She says, I have a note about this. She literally says to Amelia, do you want a giant tumor?
I have that note too. And I was like, oh my God. And there's another.
Yes,
like,
there's another
one.
They
say something again about a tumor. Like the tumor is beautiful, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like Amelia is like, I think it's when Amelia is talking about tumors being exquisite and whatever. But there are multiple references to like Amelia having a tumor,
yeah,
I feel like.
I got to find my note about that. It might have been in the first episode, actually, something. But either way, there was a lot of like Amelia foreshadowing, I noticed. But yeah, that one especially was like, do you want a giant tumor? And yeah, so, which I like that she is like, Derek drew it, you know, like it's, but yeah, she gets rid of that. So I feel like it's another, it's like fan, little, not Easter eggs, but like little fan service to us is like showing us the tumor thing again, showing us the wedding post-it. And I remember watching this episode when she puts the post-it in the drawer. And feeling like, no.
I know, like, you're not, like, that's sad, but, like...
Now I'm all for it.
Yeah, what was I just watching that you had to do... Oh, and spoiler alert about And Just Like That. I'm going to give you all...
How bad? Because I haven't watched it yet.
Seconds. Yeah, but you know what happens to Big, right?
Oh, okay. Yes.
Because of Peloton, right? Okay. So this is not a big spoiler alert. All it is like Carrie's going to go on a date and she's still wearing her wedding ring. And she's like, is that weird? And that was like, I was like, didn't Meredith, wasn't there something about like a wedding ring? But that was something else I just watched. But it is interesting. Like, I feel like, I don't feel like Meredith ever wore a wedding ring, but like the post-it really represents like their marriage.
Yes. Yeah.
And she is like taking that. It's like taking off the wedding ring and like putting it in your like intimate drawer and closing the drawer. Like it's sad.
Which I like the
but,
way that
I mean, Derek died what in 11 and it's 13.
End of 13 it is too. So I like that the sisters acknowledge that like when she slept with the other guy, like she didn't do any of these things and ended up screaming and they kicked the guy out naked. You know what I mean? Like, and right. So I feel like for them to realize that this is more important, like that, like this is bigger than any previous one. I love that they choose to be supportive because I feel like it's obviously probably hard for Amelia. That was her brother. You know what I mean? But like in this moment, like they have to support her. Oh, also I found the note. Maggie is trying to solve that inoperable tumor. And Amelia says to her, I want a big scary tumor. And Maggie says to her, get your own.
Yeah.
Which is like, wow, that happens.
Yeah. And does that happen this season? No, next season.
Next season. But still, do you think they knew that? It had to have been. This is not, this feels like not just like, oops, it's a what's the word I'm looking for?
No, like a coincidence. Two or three times they specifically say to Amelia about, do you want a big tumor? Like,
yeah, for sure. There's not a lot of Riggs in this episode, which is interesting because I feel like that plane episode was like so much. And then now they've agreed. And now we only have two more episodes of Mare and Riggs. So like, although Riggs is in season 14, but he's not with Meredith. He's because Megan is back. So,
right. There was that really sweet scene when they were leaving the hospital and she grabs his hand and he looks very surprised, but like happy about it. Yeah. Like, oh, she's holding my hand. Like as we walk out of the hospital.
God, I'm still upset. I am unpopular. My new unpopular opinion about Grace is that I really like her and Riggs together and I am pissed still.
I think that is
That's my new.
I think they were a good fit, especially because they had both lost people. Mm-hmm. You know, why? Well, let's bring Finn back. Like Finn's
right.
Wife died in a car accident.
Oh my
right?
God! Can you imagine? She had cancer, I think.
She had cancer. Okay.
Can you imagine instead of bringing this Nick dude back, that they brought Finn back? That would it set would be, the Grey's fandom afire.
A fire.
A flame. That would be so exciting because everyone has rewatched the season with Denny in it. Like not everyone mm-hmm. has rewatched season must be what? Like 15, 16 Eight. With yeah. with mm-hmm. Nick in it. Like, you know what I mean? Like everyone rewatches the Denny season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh God, I would have liked that.
That would have got everyone's panties wet. That's for sure.
Oh God. And then they put them on the They'd pin the panties on the the board. things were racy back then.
They were that sex scene where they are, oh my gosh, and nothing comes easily. They're just going for it. So.
Is that when Izzy's cutting the LVAD wire also?
I know. I think that, isn't that when she's getting in the elevator to go see Denny. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Because it's turned my grief to grace or whatever. Oh, God. I don't know, but I also it was good television.
I forgot in that season, I follow an Instagram account that like posts random Grey's episodes or scenes. And I forgot mm-hmm. also that in that episode, Izzy's like, it'll all be fine once Burke is here. And Christina's like, yo, Burke got shot.
Yeah, you forgot about that?
There's a lot of excitement in the early seasons of Grey's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, we gotta.
I feel like I have nothing going. More to say on them. Do you?
Nope, I don't. You take us into the next round while I pour some more wine. It's literally 5 feet away from me.
Great. I'm skipping out of order because I just really want to talk. Although, is that the second episode? Okay, just kidding. We're going to talk about Veronica, which yet again, love when they bring back a patient later in the season. Reminds me of Mandy Moore. Reminds me of the blonde woman that was pregnant that Derek worked with. Like, I think they should do more of that because as soon as I saw her, I was attached to her. We know that in the past she decided to go through with skipping cancer treatments in order to like grow a baby, essentially.
Yeah, bring the baby to full term or whatever.
Yeah, and I don't have too much to say about like everything leading up to it. Most of what I have to say is about like the scene when she dies. Do you have anything leading up to that before that you feel needs to be said?
I will say like. Before she's like dying, there is one part where they like find out everything that's going on and like they have to do a C-section and everyone's like pretty stressed out. And Jeremy like seems really stressed out.
Is that when she says having a baby?
She says, yeah. So Arizona wants to deliver the baby, 34 weeks. And this is like, this is so sad. And then she says, let's cheer up. We're having a baby.
I know.
And I think that was just like so beautiful because she like, this is what she really wanted. I don't know. And we'll get in if you have
it's
things to
say.
It's such
a like, and I mean martyr in a good way, not in like the sarcastic way where someone's a martyr, but they're doing it for whatever reason. Like her putting her life on the line, although her life was going to be lost anyways, essentially like to, you know, give life is really beautiful. And I also say that it's beautiful because that's what she wanted. It's not like she was being forced to do that. Like she wanted that, made that choice. I also loved, I'm trying to find my line on this. Okay, it's very interesting to me that they pair her with Amelia because it feels very opposite of what happened to Amelia, where like Amelia had to give birth to a baby that died in her arms, you know, mm-hmm. and like she was the mom that had to continue on. And it's interesting that she ends up holding Veronica while she dies yeah. and her baby goes on. I just feel like it's giving her, I don't know if it's reminding her of that. I don't know what, but like, obviously it's affecting her But I just think it's really beautiful because I feel like the way Amelia handles it, and like Arizona wants them to move forward with it. Obviously, I feel like any doctor's instinct would be to fix the problem. You know, like it's, mm-hmm. I'm not like blaming Arizona for that, but I just think it's like very beautiful. Amelia's acceptance and just like being there for her. And it's fucking tragic. Also, like while that's happening, she says to Amelia that she... Like, she did all this so she could meet the baby. Oh, wait, no, where's the... She says, I did what I wanted. My baby's okay. And she also says that, like, was she waiting for something better? Like, about Jeremy. Because she says, like, I loved him. Was I waiting for something better? Which, like, I don't know if that's supposed to line up with the Owen thing. I don't think it is. But I just... I don't know. Definitely affects Amelia.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought, like, it was... Like all the care that the doctors were giving to, like when she like throws a, she like throws a clot or something, right? And has like an embolism.
Yep.
Yeah. And like Arizona's very much like, we gotta go. And Krev's like give her another minute with her baby. Like this is what she wanted. Yeah. Like, you know, and so like then, Veronica, I think can tell like, it's not going well. And so she's like asked Jeremy to take the baby and they like go to leave. And I just thought like how strong Veronica was up until her death even. Like she knows she's dying. And then she like sends Jeremy off, which makes me like the one thing that makes me a little sad is that like, and I don't know that Jeremy needed to hear any of this, but like, if she really did love him, like
she should have said that.
He loved her. And like, but it's just so sad too, when they're like, okay, like we have to put you under, we have to like get this clot out, blah, blah, blah. And then she's, you know, just like, what if we didn't, what would happen?
Yeah.
And she just talks about like how tired and how much pain cold. She's in.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. And then when she like starts dying, she says she's just cold. And Amelia says she's get her a heating blanket. And she said, can you just hold me? Mm. And like that, like I'm like teary eyed right now. Like, and that Amelia just like, puts her weight on her, like puts her body to body. I think we talked about this like in a previous episode about like witnessing someone like transitioning through death, is one of like the most, I feel like closest to like holy things you can do on this, like, and just,
and like, not making it about yourself.
Yeah, and just giving so much respect to that person and like how just helping them transition into the next phase. And that is like, I feel like doctors, some like certain doctors do that. But then I feel like a lot of the time with surgeons, especially in the show, when the person dies, they're under the knife, like they're under anesthesia. So right. It's not often that we watch the surgeons like usher people into death, you know?
Right.
And so that's like, that was really moving too. Like we get a lot of like sad deaths or like, you're gonna die, but like we don't get a lot of like, there's nothing we can do and we'll hold your hand through this.
Yeah, I just feel like
so sad.
Well, and it clearly like for us to say like it was really, you know, Amelia isn't actually related to this woman, so like she's able to do that, but that doesn't mean it doesn't take a toll. Like, which I think it's beautiful that Amelia is able to be strong for her in that moment and put herself aside. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just going to do whatever Veronica needs, whatever. And then as soon as it's done, as soon as she passes, the feelings catch up. Like the dam that you've been holding off, like you can't hold it off anymore. There's no reason to be strong. And I don't know. I don't remember what happens next with Owen and things. In a similar way, while I don't think they need to be together, these two, I thought in a beautiful way, the way that Owen saw her hurting, came in, hugged her in a way that didn't feel like, oh, I'm trying to gain something out of this. Like it felt like, it felt like how she like witnessed Veronica. He just held her, witnessed her grief, and then didn't. And then, I mean, he left. He like, but I think that's what she needed. Like, I don't think she then wanted him to be like, what's this mean? Like, we've hugged, you know, like, yeah. And so I don't often give Owen points. But I really felt like the way he just stepped in, held space for her, and then stepped out, because ultimately, like, she asked for boundaries, is like, was a really good thing to do. Also, the song lyrics in that moment when he's hugging her, it says, I just want familiar faces. That's what the music yeah. says. And I feel like that was that for Amelia. You know, like, she doesn't want to be married to Owen, but like, in that moment, I do think she needed to get a hug from someone that she can be vulnerable with.
Totally. I agree with all of that. And I think too, just like, I think you kind of said this, but like, even to that, not like, not even like, what does this mean? But not even like, what's going on? Yeah. Like, he didn't even ask about why she was crying. He just, like you said, held space for her, which I think is really, really hard to do in general. But then like, a partner who you're like kind of estranged from, you don't know if you're getting a divorce, but like, even if you're like just good friends with someone and someone's like, I don't want to talk about it or something. She didn't even have to say, I don't want to talk about it. But right. imagine seeing your friend, hugging them, knowing they needed space, and then just like leaving it. Like, I would be like, what the fuck happened? What's going on? Yeah. Why do I, you know?
I know.
So oh my gosh. Do give Owen credit with that.
Okay. So that song, I remember, I don't know if it was when it was on this episode of Grey's, or part of me feels like it was on Shameless. The show, I gotta look it mm-hmm. up, but I have this song in my like Shazam playlist, meaning that I like definitely like Shazammed it during a show at some time. And the lyrics are so, make so much sense to this. It says, I miss the good times we had. Now I don't know who's got my back. And somebody told me to light up every room, make them remember, but nobody here knows what I'm going through. No, they never do. I miss my old friends because they know when I need them the most. I made some new friends and they're cool friends, but they don't know what I do, what I got, not who I am and who I'm not. I miss my old friends. And I feel like in that moment, like, it's interesting because it's like Meredith telling Maggie, like, I don't care if you're mad at me. Like, I want to go out with you. It's Owen seeing Amelia and comforting. It's Catherine admitting to Richard that he was wrong. It's like, there's so many things happening that's like forgiving sort of, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just love that yeah. song too. It's by Jasmine Thompson. It's a great jam.
Well, there we go. And really pulling it all together for us, Abby. the last thing I will say is, I thought it was really sad and sweet and brilliant and smart that Karev makes Jeremy hold his baby.
Yes.
To then tell him that Veronica had died. Like, I don't know. Like,
he forces and just looking that he makes that connection.
Yeah. And then like Jeremy's face and oh, it's just, and I think back to like when they came in before and he didn't know, like
he was
they
so couldn't nervous. Find her
sweatshirt or something. And he was like, I can't be this. And, but now it's like, he's on his own and he's going to be, I trust he'll be a good parent. He'll
Me
do
too.
It.
I really liked them. It's not often that I like, there's a patient storyline that I like really not that I connect with, but I just like enjoy watching. And this is one of them. Also, yeah. shout out to the show Army Wives, because she is a main character on it. And I loved her on that show. And so I also feel like part of me is subconsciously liking her because of that.
yeah. No, I thought it was, I felt very like emotionally connected to that couple.
Yeah.
A friend. You know, they weren't a couple, but friends. Okay, and I thought it was really sad.
This yeah. is a good transition, I feel like. To okay. my favorite topic of today, if I may, skip now to Richard.
Mm. Absolutely.
Because I'm going to start at the end and then we can go back. I just want to say the scene with Richard and Catherine looking at the photos of the worms and everything about Richard's mannerisms and what he says is like everything joyful about the show that I like. Like
yeah.
a constant. And I just... found, I felt like it tickled something in me that like, I just loved it so much. Even like the worm storyline, which was like really wild. I feel like whenever there's worms in Grey's, it doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen. It's always kind of comedic relief because like, A, it's obvious that it's like CGI, you know what I mean? Like the worms and like the way that like even surgeons get so grossed out and fascinated by it, it just brings me joy. I don't know why I think it's funny.
I am gonna disagree and say I was so grossed out by this storyline. Like I could barely watch it. Like I did love like the Richard part at the end and like him and Catherine being like, oh, wow. But like I mean,
I don't like the worms, but like, wasn't it funny when Bailey found out that April had a worm on her that she was like, never mind. I don't need your help. Like just how like you think they're these big tough people, but like they all draw the line at worms.
Yeah, I guess that's funny, but like, I just like, even though they're CGI, seeing them, finding out they were mating in her, like also that guy, there's like Sugar Bear.
Oh, they were disgusting. Like he was super,
they were disgusting. And then, I mean, can you imagine if you found out your partner had like a bunch of worms in them, you'd be like, oh no. Like, but he does come back and whatever, but like, it was a lot, and I dare I say too much for me. I like worms is also where I draw the line.
I think I just enjoy the parts of Richard that are constant that they forget to show sometimes, which is like that he has that weird room where it's like all of the things in jars that they've found. And I feel like he find like the way he was sitting down with that girl and being like, this is very impressive. You see this here? The worms are mating. Like it is not comforting her in the least, but like he is just so into it that he like thinks everyone else should be. And I feel like in that way, Catherine ends up being his perfect match because she is also fascinated by the worms.
Yes, totally.
And I love what Bailey says.
Yeah, and just like, don't you want to have old people sex? And mm-hmm. I'm happy that we're like, at least now, like they are mending their relationship. Yeah, because he needs to stop sleeping in his striped pajamas in the on-call room and he needs to go home.
He's so cute.
I love Richard so much.
I love that. Like, I feel like everyone else, if they sleep in the on-call room, like they don't have matching pajamas. They sleep in their scrubs, but he like straight up, he has a nighttime routine.
Oh my God. Of course he does. Yeah. Yeah, he has this little glass. I also love to, I thought he was going to like pull up a phone and I was like, that's crazy.
No,
but
like,
of course they're like Polaroids. Of course they are. And it's just perfect. Yeah.
Did I take photos? He scoffs, said my like subtitles. Yeah, like, yeah. Also, I like that they made the connection that Bailey and Catherine have a lot in common, which I think is very true, which is like why I think Bailey can say what she says to Catherine. Because I think Catherine recognizes that in Bailey and vice versa. They're sort of like, I mean, they're his work wife and his real wife. And I feel like they also are very strong, opinionated, like smart, like women, you know? And so I feel like it's great that she kind of, I feel like Catherine actually listens to her.
Oh, I think so too. I think she really respects Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I think it would take someone like Bailey who really like you said, they're very similar. So like Bailey really gets Catherine to like kind of get her to back down and change her mind or admit that she's wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
I like kind of just off the Bailey thing, like just with Warren, so, and like Minnick is barely in this. So Minnick, I feel like, is being like phased out of the storyline. Mm-hmm. You know, Richard ends up apologizing to Minnick and says like that he thinks that she's actually right. Like in one of the beginning of the episodes, they're like going through all the residents, like Bailey, Richard,
yeah, like
Minnick.
The sorting hat.
Yeah. And they're like talking about like, this one's this and this one's this. And they pretty much say that like Minnick kind of goes silent on Warren and is just like, he's not he's not taking risks. And Bailey's like, what do you mean? Like he's gotten like pretty much written up for taking risks. And she's like, right. Like they go one of two ways. Like they start playing it safe or like they are innovative or something. I don't know.
Right.
And anyway, Warren is playing it safe. And so like Bailey's like kind of like, ah! And then Richard sees that Warren is doing that. So that will be interesting. I don't really remember. But is this when Warren leaves the show and becomes, because we got the fire coming up. So when does Station 19? Yeah.
When does Ben Warren leave Grey's? Let's see. He doesn't die. What's happening? I'm reading. When does Warren leave Grey's Anatomy? Oh, I can't find that. Does he die in Station 19? What's happening? Is there an explosion?
No.
I don't. Oh, here we go. Ben Warren, Grey's Wiki. Let's see. While this loads, I'm going to say that it wouldn't surprise me because I feel like even at the end, oh God, I clicked on an ad. At the end of the episode, you know, like he says to Stephanie, like, I'm ready to step it up. Like I'm, you know, whatever. It's like, he makes this big declaration of his future. And part of me feels like it's foreshadowing of that. I still can't find it. So if you have anything to say, hospital explosion. So he's one that helps during it. Blee, blee, blee. Yeah. I think it's after that he says he's happy with surgery, but he wanted more. And then that he joins the fire academy. So I think it is coming up.
Okay. Wait, when did season 14 air of Grey's Anatomy?
14 or 13?
14.
Season 14 aired, the first episode aired September 28th, 2017.
Okay, and Station 19, the first episode aired March 22nd, 2018. So
I bet he's in like the first half of 14, yes. Or at least like part and of then, it. And,
yeah. And then moves on. So he probably gets like feelings about fire. My cat is on the counter right now and I'm going to kill her. Get down. And I can't move. She is like... Okay, like little quick Marge sidebar.
You talk
arthritis.
About Marge, I'm filling up with wine.
Okay, she has arthritis. And so we have been taking her to the vet. We've been like figuring out her life. And like, so, oh my God, she just jumped from one counter to another. Wow, I watched her. Oh my God. Yeah, in the kitchen. Anyway, she's on daily doses of gabapentin and John and I agreed to like stop her pain, which is like great. But now she's become a kitten again. Like before she just used to like lay on the floor, like lay on the couch. But now I feel like we have like gotten her to a point where she's like thriving. So she's like jumping really high on shit and it's making our lives living
well. That's
hell.
That's how like I feel about McCoy. I cut the cancer out of his leg. I didn't. A surgeon did. And now he's more obnoxious than he was prior.
Yeah, because they're like, I feel great. And I want her to feel great. But I don't want her to feel great on top of my counters. Like, she used to never go up there. And now she is like...
Like kitchen counters?
I literally watched her do the like... Yeah, I did watch her do the little like shake her butt thing. Like, think about like, can I make the jump? Can I make the jump? And then she just leaped to another counter. So...
Has she ever not made the jump? Like, have you ever seen her try to jump on something and miss?
Oh, yeah. I've seen her jump from furniture and be like, and like, hold on, like very Lion King-esque and like fall down. Yeah, I've seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, I took McCoy to get groomed today and the people called me to have me pick him up earlier because he was so anxious. And like, they were like, we thought he'd be very subdued. And I was like, yeah, he's not. Like, he is stronger on three legs than he was on four. And you can't, when you have a big dog, okay, don't come at me, people. If a big dog is naughty, you can kind of like whack him on the butt a little bit, you know, like, hey, like, don't do that. Not like abuse, but like, whatever. I can't do that now because like he loses balance.
So,
he just gets away with more now. Like he's just naughtier.
Yeah. And they're just in their like twilight years. So like you also don't, well, you're like, literally I could get up right now and be like, Marge, get down. But I'm like, I'm podcasting and I don't know. I'll just clean the counter spray, whatever. Sit by the coffee maker. I don't care, Marge. Whatever.
A friend of mine who like I follow on Instagram and I know from other weird areas of life, she has a golden retriever and posted a video the other day of she came home and her golden retriever was on the kitchen table. And she was like, excuse me? Like, and this had never happened before. And she was just like, I don't know if you've always been doing this and I just caught you or if like this is new, but no.
Dude, that happened with my golden retriever when we were younger. I remember like my sister and I were in the living room watching TV, and then we heard like a loud noise, and we came out and my full grown golden retriever was standing on the counter. I don't know how she got up there, but she was shaking because she was afraid. Like she got onto the counter and then was like, I don't know what to do. So we had to like lift my like 100-something pound golden retriever. Like my parents were gone. But yeah, animals, like McCoy probably goes and stands on your counter too.
Yeah, today he jumped out of the trunk, which I didn't know he was capable of. So now I'm not even, I lift him usually. And now I'm like, okay, well, I don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah, surprising us left and right, these animals.
Yep.
Oh, Marge has a vet appointment again tomorrow because she has to get, we have to split up her vaccines because she gets reactions to them. So she can't get them like on the same visit. So it's like a very quick visit. They'll just like pretty much take her temperature, make sure she doesn't have a temp, and then give her a vaccine. But they'll weigh her, and she's been on a diet for her arthritis. So we'll see tomorrow if she's thriving. I told her today, I said, Marge, if you lost the weight you're supposed to lose, you can eat whatever you want, which completely goes against.
I love that.
I just want her to like intuitive eating. I just want her to eat what she wants.
I know. I get it. Okay.
Anyway. Wow. Grey's Anatomy. Okay. Last storyline. I don't even. I feel like we should just talk about how it relates to Stephanie.
Yes. That's what I was just going to say. Also, that little kid was a very good actor because he made me very sad.
Totally. I will just say like really fucking sad about the parents that they weren't. And like, this is a thing, you know? And like, obviously respect people's religious beliefs. Like, I want to be very respectful about that. But it is just really sad like that. And like, this child doesn't like have any rights, really.
When he said, I prayed, God didn't help me, I wanted to cry.
That's awful.
Yeah.
It's awful.
So I feel like so we've been trying to be on Steph alert of like looking and seeing why she leaves the show. And it was interesting to me that Minnick brings up these red flags. She's like, hey, I noticed that, which I like forgot about this, that like her boyfriend died on the table and it looks like she went right back to work. And, you know, Richard is like, yeah, she was fine, blah, blah, blah. And so Minnick notices right away, like she didn't need therapy. She didn't do anything of that. Also, she said she notices her becoming very involved with the patient. And Richard again is like, oh, she's just passionate. She's whatever. And so I thought it was interesting that she brings up these red flags. And then clearly, like, I mean, she yells at the dad, which like a lot of us would do. I feel like Karev would do it too. But like, and then throws the thing at him, which like, that is something that I feel like draws a line of like normal behavior of our surgeons that we see and like not normal.
Totally. Yes.
And I think too, it's triggering something for her again. And she says this too, when she like goes and apologizes, that like, it's a little boy and no one was advocating for him. Like the people who are supposed to care for him are not, which is clearly like triggering her to things of her past.
I do think, I mean, like Warren comes in at the very end. And it's like, yeah, we're going to like fight to the death, whatever. And she's like, you're going to win. Cause like, I got all my privileges revoked and stuff. And like, honestly, kind of agree. Like,
yeah,
I think she should have been in some type of mandatory therapy. And like, yeah, it's that storyline is super fucked up and really sad. But like, if you're throwing shit at she kind of acts out towards like the mom too. And Minnick is like, who taught you to talk to patients like that? And she was like, that's not a patient. But like, I get it. There's like this gray line of like advocating for this boy, but also like there's a way to advocate without throwing things across the room.
Yeah. And I like that Minnick, she actually points to it as something like she calls resident burnout. You know, like this is resident burnout. Like this is, she's not even like attacking her character, I don't think. She's just saying like, these are all telltale signs of this and you guys are missing it because you're too close, which like I feel is accurate. And so, Yeah, so we learned that she has her privileges revoked, which I'm assuming are the, like, Minnick privileges of, like, being able to run lead on operations. I don't think she's, like, suspended. I think she just can't, like, take the lead of things. And she has to go to counseling. Which, now I'm thinking, I don't want to talk too much about the finale because we'll get there, but I'm pretty sure, isn't she, like, protecting a patient that, like...
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I just feel like it's not that she doesn't care for the patient. It's almost that she cares too much and can't... There's no boundary there.
Yes, yes, I agree. I think she cares very deeply for her patients.
It's too bad we couldn't see, like, a... And we can talk about this next week, but just, like... Instead of it playing out where she decides not to do this anymore, where she does get help and is able to manage that and is an incredible surgeon. Because I feel like I really liked her on the show and I do think she's really good. And so it's a bummer if it goes the other way. But
I think too, though, she got signed on to another show, right?
I don't know. But yeah, I think there was like the actress herself didn't want to do
yes,
that anymore.
I think like on to, I think another Shonda Rhimes show or something. I could be making that up, but I think like that is part of the reason why she was written off of Grey's Anatomy is she had like another show that she was going to. So, I don't really have anything else. Do you?
No, not really. Other than what we're going to talk about in post-op.
Cool. So again, if you, well, first let's do notes and trivia. This episode's title originated from the song Don't Stop Me Now, originally sung by Queen.
It scored 7.02 million viewers. I feel like you can skip the next two.
Yeah. The press release for the episode mentions that Eliza continues to pursue Arizona, while that plot appears to have been cut from the episode.
This is the only episode of the season to show Alice Shepard.
Interesting. Goof. When Bailey tells Catherine about the Richards worms, Catherine stops writing on the board. However, in the next shot, before she continues writing, the hour she was writing has been filled in. Additionally, Catherine wrote down the patient's name, while the shot of the board later shows the procedure written instead of the patient's name.
These are so dumb. Goof. Dennis brings a white paper bag upon returning to visit Mary after her procedure. He sets it on her bed tray. After Richard leaves, the shot shows the bag is gone.
Oh my God. Second episode's title originated from the song Leave It Inside, originally sung by Toby Lateman. I don't know who that is.
Me either. The episode scored 7.09 million viewers. Also, this next one is interesting to me.
One of the patients on the surgical board is Dee Rosen. David Rosen is a character on Scandal. Whoa, another TGIT show.
Did you ever watch Scandal?
No. I watched, I started watching it a long time ago, like the first couple episodes, and then I never continued.
I feel like it's one of those that on a day when you're hungover, you could binge.
Okay, because I was going to say, I feel like it's been too long now for me to like get into it.
I love that show so much. Because to me, it was like Grey's Anatomy meets Law & Order SVU.
Got it. Yeah.
At the beginning of the episode, Meredith knocks on Amelia's door and asks if she wants a big tumor. Also, when discussing tumors with Maggie, Amelia says she wants a giant, scary tumor. This possibly foreshadows Amelia's diagnosis of her brain tumor. Duh.
We already said that. Maggie
This is cool too.
Writes, Hayden on the OR board. This is a reference to the birth of Camilla Luddington's daughter, Hayden, with actor Matthew Allen, who appears in this episode. That's sweet.
Wow. David tells Stephanie she'll burn in hell, possibly foreshadowing the events of the season finale. Wow, didn't catch that.
At the beginning of the episode, Bailey mentions the sorting hat. This is a reference to Harry Potter.
Love that reference. Okay, Catherine.
I'm going to give my Catherine Avery Award to Amelia for being there with Veronica.
Oh, I'm just doubling down on that. That's a great answer.
I think that was, the other option would maybe be Bailey, but I think Amelia deserves it.
Yeah, I like that. I'm going to rate it. I don't want to rate it that low. It did entertain me. I'm going to be generous tonight, rate it a 7.
Okay, I would rate the first episode was with like Veronica and stuff.
Yeah.
I would probably rate that like a 7.5. Maybe even at like 7.75. But like the second one I just like really didn't care about. So I would rate that one like a 5.
So 6. Like,
so I guess a 6.
Sounds good. If you are a patron, make sure you're listening on the Patreon app or through the RSS feed, because we have Post-Op coming up and we're going to talk about Joe DeLuca and a little bit about a phone call that Karev makes. So, and maybe a little, Eliza Minnick, Eliza and Arizona flirt in the elevator. We didn't talk about it. That's all there is to say.
That's it. Well, they also have sex, but like, Eliza.
And Arizona. Stick around, and thank you so much, all of you, for listening to us. And we only have one more episode.
Thank you to all of our patrons. Thank you for supporting the podcast. And time of death?
Time of death is, 21:35.